So good morning, everyone. Welcome to this ordinary meeting, 24th of April 2024 at the Oatlands Municipal Offices, 71 High Street, Oatlands. I'm standing in today for the Mayor, who is attending the funeral, so bear with me, please. We will open our meeting with prayers. So I'll ask Reverend Dennis to please recite some prayers for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Dennis.
We stand on the doorstep of Anzac Day. I'd just like to start with a prayer of peace, a prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. As we begin our council meeting today, we remember two within the Southern Midlands Council who have passed away since our last meeting. That being Gary Byrne and also Patsy McShane from Broad Marsh. We ask for blessings upon their families as they continue to grieve and to remember their loved ones and the families and friends as well. And as we do, we remember the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Thank you very much, and all the very best for the day.
Thank you. Thank you, Dennis.
May see you tomorrow.
We may see you tomorrow.
Yes.
Acknowledgement of country. We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land on which we meet today and recognise their continuing connection to the land, water and to community. We repay respects to elders past and present. Attendance. We have an apology from the Mayor.
We have an apology? Well, just listening to an audio recording, it was very good of another council. And they actually went round the table and got everyone to announce their name.
Okay.
So, because for those that might be listening to the audio, they actually don't know who's present. So I can either do that or you can do that individually.
Okay, so I'll start. Deputy Mayor Karen Dudgeon.
Councillor Fraser Miller.
Councillor Donald Fish.
Councillor Bob Campbell.
Deputy General Manager Andrew Benson.
Councillor Lola Blackwell.
Councillor Tony Bisley.
They probably don't need to know, worry about the staff members, okay. Or the elected members.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Staff are very important.
Yes. Does
anybody care where they're here?
No.
That's a good idea.
So you're right, we've got apologies.
They're back.
Yes, okay. So we'll go through the minutes from the ordinary council meeting of 27th of March.
So moved. And so
I'll second.
Madam Deputy.
Thank you, Councillor Biskey and Councillor Campbell. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Special committees or council meetings. We have the receipt of the minutes from the Woodstock Community Memorial Hall and the Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary Management Committee. Can I have a mover and a seconder to receive those?
No, I can move.
I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Fish and Councillor Blackwell. Special Committees of Council endorsement of recommendations. The recommendations contained within the minutes of the following special meetings of the Council are submitted for endorsement of the Woodstock Community Memorial Hall and the Chauncey Vale Wildlife Sanctuary. Can I have a mover?
Could we just adopt the receipt of minutes, a mover and a seconder for the,
right.
For the receipt?
We did.
We did.
Yes. Councillor Fish and Councillor
Blake. I'm sorry. I thought it was for the next one.
Sorry, yes.
Sorry.
Can we have a mover and
yes,
a second? Are there any...
Second.
Thank you. Are there any discussions on any of those minutes? Okay. No discussion. Moving forward.
All those in favour.
All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Carried. Thank you, Mr. Gina. Notification of council workshops. A workshop was held on the 8th of April 2024 here at the council chambers. In attendance was the mayor, the deputy mayor, councillor Bisby, councillor Blackwell, councillor Pish and councillor Miller remotely. Apologies from councillor Campbell. Our workshop focused on the 2024-25 budget, the draft capital works program, review of the strategic plan, financial management strategic and long-term financial management plan review, and other matters, which was the Kempton roadside stopover. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please, for those?
So moved.
Thank you, Councillor Bisby. Thank you, Councillor Blackwell. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Councillors, question time. Questions on notice? Neil, we haven't received any. Okay, so now we go to questions without notice. And if you like, we'll go around the table and I'll start with you, Councillor Bisby.
Oh, thank you, Madam Deputy. I've got a few today, unfortunately. Could we start just with the pool, Andrew? Where are we at with finishing the freestone, please? Because the bottom part of it and stone still sitting there. I'm hearing that the contractors have been relieved of their contract and someone else is taking over, perhaps.
I'd need to take that one on notice. Certainly they were looking at completing it after Easter. The general manager and I met with Potts and the project manager and we talked about that. There were strong commitments that it would be completed. But there were a number of frustrations in dealing with that contractor, subcontractor. I'll take that on notice and get you a response as of this
Okay, point. Thank you. It's just a pity, it just needs finishing up. I guess you can't complete the final finalisation of the contract with BOSS until everything's done.
That's correct.
And this is all pending.
Exactly. And there's an outstanding payment for them for $400,000.
So back to us?
No, we're holding that.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah, we're holding against that, yeah. And you can't release that until...
No, yeah. And we're still holding back guarantees.
Ah, right, yes, no, that's right.
If there is a default...
We take it out.
We can do that under our own But BOSS are certainly frustrated. They paid the contract penalty, which was a labour-only contract. Too much money up front, the previous project manager did, and they just caught with trying to get it finalised.
Yes.
So very frustrating.
They paid them up front?
A large percentage of money up front, so they couldn't go to another contract. Mm. I don't know why you'd ever do that on a labour-only contract.
Yeah, that's right. Mm. Okay, next one. The footpath in Campbell Street, I think, was that in the budget? I apologise for not looking at last year's budget, but it was budgeted for last year, was
yep,
it not?
Yep, no, we just... so the tree hedge's been trimmed back.
Yes.
Site works will start probably next week. And we're just getting three prices from contractors to do the concrete pour and the finishing. So it will be exposed aggregate footpath construction.
Right. Is this like the around the lake?
No, it's... I was going to say, if you've driven through Richmond and seen their footpaths there, they're exposed aggregate.
Yes.
That was the material that we used.
Right.
That material is no longer available. So it'll be something very similar to that, but it'll be an exposed aggregate concrete.
Okay, thank you.
So you'll see, site works next week, I think.
Good, good, thank you. And for the pool, for the design for the pool, and you've talked about this before the meeting.
This is a sculpture.
Sculpture, thank you. That was the other thing.
This is a work in progress image that I got from the artist, James McShane. He's finding, because he's using recycled materials, he's finding it hard to get some elements, but well on the way.
Right.
That's the work in progress. Looks wonderful, just with the image, the sandstone that he sits on, sits behind that. So he's looking at this point in time, the end of May, maybe early June, when the installation will be on.
Jesus.
Mm.
That's big.
That is. As I said to the Deputy General Manager, I met with James by chance on Friday last week, and he showed me some photos, and he's very happy with how it's coming along. So, yeah.
Very good. Thank you for that update. Tunbridge Bridge, Mr. General Manager, any further
happenings there? I haven't been past lately, but I don't think it's been started.
It'll be started very soon, isn't it?
Yeah. Great.
I can provide some comments, Councillor Visby.
Thanks, me.
When we met up in Tunbridge in February, I spoke with Sarah Casey from Pitt and Sherry. She's the project manager on behalf of DSG. She indicated that they would be commencing works in March of this year.
Right.
So you're quite correct. The expectation was that works would have commenced by now. They have appointed a contractor at that stage. They weren't constrained by the election at that stage.
Yeah, right.
So I'll follow through with Sarah Casey this afternoon and come back with an answer in relation to some updated timeframes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next one was the Correction Centre. Any movement? I suppose it's too early after the election, I suppose, that they're moving on that.
Again, further through the Deputy Mayor, we've had nothing further from anybody specifically in relation to the proposal. We did have some initial contacts with some consultants in relation to wastewater on site.
Yeah.
I believe there's some assessments being done in that respect, and we did provide some planning responses insofar as what the zone was anticipating and what the bulk and location requirements were for built form, but we've seen nothing insofar as a formal application to council, despite some promises we made to that effect late last year.
Yeah, very good. Thank you. Just a couple more. The toilet block at Cullington Park to be built, is that going to be situated on this side of the hedge or the other side of the hedge to camouflage it a bit from the park?
It's on the northern side.
It's on the northern side.
So the northern side of the park, this side of the hedge.
Oh, right.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Sort of halfway between Drover's Hut and the fence down the road.
Right. Okay. I thought it might have been appropriate to put it just round the corner of the hedge to camouflage it a bit from the play area. But anyway, that's a matter for the Lake Dalton and Cullington Park Committee. Okay, just two issues. Left Grant. Last month's Southern Midlands News, I thought, raised two good questions. That there were recent buildings that have been, new buildings that have been built in Oatlands, have a certain heritage degree on the roof, and the carports next door are of a different pitch, and I thought the point was well made, that this is a bit inconsistent with the main building, that we have a heritage pitch on the house but not on the carport.
Yes, thank you, Councillor Vesey. It's good to hear. I'm aware of the article in the newspaper. I thought it was quite relevant as far as the issues they were raising. We are required under Section 63A of the Act to uphold it and enforce the planning scheme. It's a legal document. I'm concerned about the inconsistencies we may have insofar as our assessment and determination of those applications. In all cases, we refer an application internally to Council's Heritage Advisor, Brad Williams, and we, you know, the intention is to treat like with like. I believe, and I could take it on notice and provide you with a formal response, but certainly there's some discussion within the team that outbuildings are excluded from the roof pitch provision. So I need to take that on notice and provide a detailed response on that matter specifically.
Yeah.
But certainly I'm concerned, or I'm mindful of the need to be consistent in the application, assessment of those applications.
Yes, it seems unfortunate to me that one building is built to a certain standard and the adjoining carport has a different pitch on the roof. Well, thanks for that. The only other one that was raised in that, which I agree with, that the building, I'm not sure where it is, but it was it had to be weatherboard, a vertical board rather than weatherboard. Now, to me, weatherboard is a very acceptable heritage cladding, and I just wondered why the applicant or the developer was required to place vertical boards, which to me, Nissen huts were built out of vertical boards years ago, and I would have thought that weatherboards was a very acceptable cladding for a building in Adlands.
Again, through Deputy Mayor, I know the situation you're speaking to, Councillor Vesey, with a property on South Parade. That was the cottage that just turned up on the property without any notification to Council.
Right.
The issue we had on that site was that the site was sold to that person. The applicant or the real estate agent advised the purchaser that there's no overlay on the property, that's incorrect. We dealt with that internally insofar as an application to Council to try and retrofit that building to meet the requirements of the Heritage Code. Again, we default to the advice of Council's Heritage Advisor, Brad Williams, on any developments in the precinct. Brad's expert advice was that we should have a horizontal weatherboard. So there's been some retrofitting in relation to that building, including a 30-degree roof pitch. Personally, I would prefer that the plans are provided to Council that meet those requirements, rather than the conditions being imposed seeking compliance. It just means we've then got a compliance and enforcement matter beyond that. So moving forward, we will in the future ensure that any work that requires retrofitting is provided on the plans that are approved.
Exactly.
On the conditions that are being applied.
A necessity, I would have thought.
Absolutely. And again, it's just been a matter of staff interpretation. That situation was, for the landowner, rather uncomfortable. We were mindful of the living arrangement at that time, the age of that applicant as well. We did as best we could in the time we had to try and get that across the line. Unfortunately for that person, their agent was less than responsive and took a long time to get back to Council with what we required to achieve a compliant outcome.
Hmm. Okay, thank you for that. Thank you, Madam Deputy.
Councillor Blackwell?
No, nothing from Councillor Blackwell.
Oh.
Thank you.
Sorry.
Councillor Campbell, have you got any questions?
Well, Councillor Bush has covered part of what I'm going to cover.
Well, that's good.
Some people have been down Mudball's Road lately, and we've noticed that Peckham Hill has been resealed. And some moons ago, requests were made for a barrier to be put on that road on the drop-off area going down to the railway line. Could Council send a letter to the state government asking in relation to putting a barrier up that section of road? And I know that when we had our friends of Mudball's Road group together, we managed to get the cat size up there. And since then there's been no major run over the hill caper. So looking at safety and tourists going up and down that hill, especially at night time, it really needs a barrier.
Yeah, no, we know. Mm. Yeah, no, we can certainly,
And then,
further on through. Mm.
Then I've had a number of people have a go at me for quite some time, since the election. High Street, and I remember putting a motion on the table when I was in council before, from Wellington Street to Gay Street, make it a shopping zone speed of 40k, because some people don't like crossing that section. Have had some near misses with vehicles, and one of those that really needs to be revisited, because some people say it should be 40, some say 50. Then moving on to the third one, Rakes Hall. I remember putting a motion on the table some time ago in relation to a Pioneer Wall, and I was assured that some design work was going to be done to landscape the front of Roach Hall. And I was told it had been started, planning had been started, then it seems to have gone quiet. And then when I spoke to someone that works for council, she reckoned that she's heard nothing, and I've heard nothing. So what's going on with the front of Roach Hall, and if the plan is done, can it incorporate a water fountain, seeing that in the past Oakland's had three, maybe four fountains in the town? And then I go on to that other pet subject that everyone's talking about, or nearly everyone, inconsistency in the heritage Inverted Commas Act across Oakland. Some people say that the footpath should be flagstone, but then again, flagstone can be a hazard for tripping over. Others are saying that the A-frame extension was done with fibre-packed block and should be rendered, but hasn't been rendered. So how does that fit into the heritage picture if you've got concrete block, and then you've got, like Councillor Busey mentioned, the police houses with the garages that looked like they were, the garages were came from some sort of army disposal unit. They don't match. And when you compare the house that's got vertical board on it, my understanding of vertical board goes back to days when they built sheds, barns, that sort of thing, because it was a cheap, easy way to build, and it had good water drains so the boards didn't rot, but not appropriate for that little house, especially when you look across the road to the Catholic manse, same style of building, weatherboard. So what's going on? Why have we got this mismatch of things going on?
I was going to say, Grant's responded in terms of the
roofs.
The roofs issue.
Pitch.
As far as rendering the A-frame building, I'm not sure I've ever heard of that one.
Not the A-frame building, the extensions.
And an actual fact, there were comments from around this table from the previous councillor that said it's appropriate that in the finish that it is. And she kept that view for a long period of time, it never changed. So I guess from architectural styles, there are different opinions from different people looking for different things.
In terms of a heritage process to trigger rendering, never happened, so it's not in the planning, not in the line of thought at all, so, at this point.
I think just through Madam Mayor, just further to your chat there, to Councillor Campbell, at last meeting in Coldbrook, we had a consultant heritage planner present to Council, and they were talking, they were critiquing another heritage planner's comments in relation to development here in Oaklands. We know it's subjective. There's different differences of opinion across this subject matter. And surely we rely on our own expert, Councillor Brad Williams. So I do agree there are some perceived inconsistencies, but across the experts, there's general confidence in what they are conveying.
Thank you, Grant. Is that all, Councillor Campbell? Councillor Fish, have you got any questions?
Madam, just a simple little one. Looking through the agenda, the museum hasn't replied to us.
That will be a late item. Gemma's just received their financial statement, so it will be a late item, a supplementary item.
We'll do that in a minute.
Thanks.
Councillor Miller, have you got any questions?
Yeah, I've got a couple. Can we purchase some security cameras? Because there seems to be a lot of vandalism happening at the moment in the Campania area, and it might act as a deterrent to identifying who that is. Specifically, the tip has been set fire to 2 weeks in a row now, and did quite some damage to the bins, and it is obviously quite dry around there, so the potential for that to spill over into the surrounds is probably reasonably high. And I think those trail cameras are probably, something we should have on stock or on hand within the council anyway, so perhaps we can purchase, 10 of them and see if we can get a volume discount. But, certainly that's one area. A lot of fly tipping continuing going along the Mudwalls Road. So again, just seems to be probably the same person, but, there's quite a few places you could quite easily put a camera to identify what's going on there and who it is, so that we can, charge them for the clean-up potentially or fine them. So I don't know how whether we can, make a decision on that today or not, or whether that has to be...
We've actually got some.
So
I know that one or two are elsewhere at the moment.
Yeah.
We've actually got some.
If we can get them put in the tip, again, around that area, it just seems to be a bit probably bored kids more than anything.
Yeah, so it sounds like there's been two goes at the campaign.
So they set the bins on fire week before last, and then last weekend it was the green waste.
Yeah.
And it's quite toxic, who knows what's burning in the general waste bin.
Makes it difficult. They're wearing hoodies.
But maybe just even putting a sign up saying security cameras here now. Only takes one to be identified and you've got them all, so
yeah.
And they obviously hang around there while it's happening, otherwise they probably wouldn't do it and bugger off, I'd imagine. But that's one thing.
$24,500
yes,
to pair the two bins.
Yes.
How much?
$24,500. Well, burnt for that to be blasted, sandblasted, repainted, all fitted out with
new covers.
Covers, screens, and transported here, there, and everywhere to get them fixed.
Can we get that under insurance, do we?
No, well, they're actually owned by Spectrant.
So they have their insurance?
So we're responsible because it's on our property, or well, our we're
having,
property?
We're having that negotiation at the moment, but I believe that it's Spectrum's responsibility as the owner of the asset. And the contract.
Well, they should be insured for it anyway.
Yeah, so.
About $400 for a trail camera, and they're not expensive, and if it saves us $20,000 in damage. The other thing a few people have asked, there seems to be a bit of interest in a basketball/netball team, and they want to know how they can go about rejuvenating the, I think it's an old tennis court in Campania there, and whether that can be turned into a basketball court/netball court, and how how they can go around actioning that so they can start a start a sports team there.
So I'm looking at Don, but looking at the outcome of the upgrade at the Broadmarsh Hall,
yep.
That's what we want to mirror at yep. Camp Painter. It's a really good surface and whatever else. I don't know whether you had an opportunity to find that pricing for
us. No, but I can give it to you in no time at all.
That's all right. But I'm just looking at AV because I'm just trying to think, in terms of the community infrastructure plan, did that identify a specific use for that?
It did look out into fuses where the kids enjoyed doing various things there now at the moment, but to make it into a court, we'd take a bit of work excavating all of that broken concrete in some place area. But certainly the new Campania community group were keen to energise things there in partnership with the school, with kids. To see what they could do. I think basketball might have been part of what they were talking about.
Yeah. I think they're saying you can get a basketball hoop, but then you can spin it round and it becomes a netball.
Yeah.
Netball hoop.
Well, multi-use. All that on the boat.
And then potentially we could, you know, create some change rooms in the back of the hall or something, or, you know, provide some facility there.
Just my only other thought was that part of the community infrastructure plan recommends better utilisation of the education department facilities.
Yep.
So whether we're better off trying to work with that group to get them access to the proper facilities at the school that are readily accessible and right to go. So
and it's like new as well. And the only issue with the schools, they haven't got sprung flooring. So there were some updates that need to happen, but maybe we could do something in partnership with the education department that builds that as well, up to a workable level with the cement floor. Less injuries with the cement floor. But certainly happy to take that on board. We need part of that particular group. The community group there, so we'd see the energies around that. Does anyone outside of that group, Councillor Miller, if you'd like to provide some names that we can include in that consultation process?
Yeah, I think it's just having an outdoor, I mean the indoor facility's fine, but you know it obviously comes with security and access issues, whereas an outdoor thing people can just, you know, turn up and shoot some hoops or whatever the term is these days.
Yeah.
So. So looking at that price that Councillor Blackwell, that's a really good product out there, outcome. So taking into account whatever works plus $30,000 to put a proper surface over it, very achievable, I think.
You have one other point which slips my mind, but maybe Karen, you go, I'll remember what it is, it'll come back to me.
No problem. Okay, so I've got questions from myself and questions from the Mayor, okay? So my question, I was going to ask about the Campania tip that we've done that. The Colebrook toilets, when we were there on Monday, one of our councillors went to the toilets and they were not in a fit state, and then we were told that they'd been vandalised again. So what's the update there? How much damage did they do? What was the dollar figure?
No, it's just primarily blockage. They put whatever down
the
toilets, block them. It's really just additional cleaning time. Is the name, but it's not one-off, it's regular. A camera, you certainly can't put a camera in the toilet, but
put it outside.
It's a matter of you can film people coming and going from the toilets, but how do you then determine which one of those left the mess inside?
I think you might determine there's a pattern of the same people doing the same thing.
But it seems, it's just clogging whatever they put down.
Yeah, just shoving the toilet paper down.
The housekeeping's not that good, to be honest.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so
Thank you.
Ongoing issue. Yeah.
It's a shame that we provide these toilets to the public and we have...
How many times has this happened? 4, 5, 6?
Oh, I'm weekly.
Weekly.
Yeah, no, so every time the cleaner goes, 3 times a week.
Can I follow on with the toilet piece before you go on to your next one? I just noticed that in one of the emails that the Woodstar Football Club's still talking about taking the Colebrook toilet, so I thought we'd made it clear that wasn't an option for them. But it seems
numerous times we've made that.
Seems that the message still hasn't, you know, clicked with them.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we should take note of the Japanese style of toilets.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just a hole in the floor. Nothing else. Well, that'd get rid of the van. No, that probably.
No,
we won't go there. Okay, so the following questions are from the mayor. The clock at Kempton is now 3 minutes slow.
It was better off being 10 hours out.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you hear the story?
No, I did hear him say something last night. It was 3 minutes slow and I didn't go and ask anymore.
Yeah, no, so the
2 hours behind still.
So come daylight savings, whatever the programming, instead of going back an hour, it went forward an hour.
So
it was 10 hours out or whatever it was. And then they had to ramp it up. You can't just move it around, and it took about 3 hours to catch up that 10 hours. So 3 minutes, liberal.
Okay. All right. His second question is the drain at the stopover clearing at Kempton.
That's probably done possibly yesterday. It's a machine that's finished in Grange Road.
Okay. Third question is the progress on the Melton Mowbray trough replacement.
Getting there.
Work in progress?
Definitely work in progress.
Well, we can't do anything. We've got another addition in the budget. So under the budget's approved by council, I don't think we can do
that. Yeah, but there's quotes being sought for the landscaping component, the fencing component, the landscaping. Okay. So, yeah, it's being progressed.
Okay.
Albeit, yeah, it is slowly.
And his fourth question was on the progress of the sculpture, but we've answered all that. So, if that's it, so no other questions, we'll move on to item number 8. So, that's with declarations of pecuniary interest. Are there any declarations? Yeah? Okay. Item 9, consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. Do we have any supplementary items?
So there is two. It's the Historical Society, the request for a rate remission, having received their financial report now. And the second one, which was just an exclusion, was the quarterly capital works program update.
Okay.
It was just omitted from the...
So can I have a mover and a seconder, please?
Move.
Councillor Cannell, thank you. A seconder, please?
Yes, I'll second.
Councillor Blackman. Okay, all in favour?
Aye.
Okay. All right, so that brings us up to public question time. We've got two members in the gallery. We'll go ladies first, if you don't mind. So, Julia, would you like to go first?
Yes, look, just one question. In support of Councillor Campbell's comment about a 40k zone in the main street, from wherever to wherever, I've been approached by a number of people with disabilities who are having serious problems getting across Fire Street from one side to the other, and I almost witnessed an almost accident the other day with two people in motorised wheelchairs, and one actually stopped in the middle of the road. It's become a really busy street, and the last, I won't call it an excuse, explanation was that we were waiting for the structure plan so that we could then perhaps put in some crossings, proper designated crossings. So can I ask please for an update on where we are with those crossings And I like to support Councillor Campbell's suggestion of a 40k zone, the shopping precinct zone.
So, Deputy General Manager, do you want to answer? Because I can remember, before we go any further, I can remember having a gentleman in town who's rather blind bringing that to council before in regards of having a crossing over here, and I was told the same, that it was a structure plan and we were waiting to see what we were doing and the pool, waiting for the pool to be finished, and we haven't got anything. And that gentleman is still using his white stick to walk up and down, and I helped him across the road recently because I was just so scared that something was going to happen.
It's a wide road, isn't it?
We already have two areas where we have, I don't know what to call them, the bits that stick out. What are they?
Is it a relief?
Okay, a relief. Two lots off, outside the service station school and outside here at the community centre.
What a pedestrian refuge.
Is that what they call it? Thank you.
So now that the parking has gone from angle parking to end on parking, there is room now to put some pedestrian refuges along that section, so that's something we can take on board. Our safety, I won't comment, but yes, that is a possibility. In terms of the speed, the sign to 40 kilometres, so the process there is, and we haven't, we can't introduce, we don't have the authority to introduce speed zones. It's got to be introduced by, well, approved by the Commissioner for Transport. So the Commissioner will entertain an application or a submission at the request of Council. So we, in order to initiate that, we would need a formal decision of Council to request the introduction of a 40 kilometre an hour speed zone. It's probably best not to make an off the cuff decision, and we should provide a report that says this is where the zone will start and this is where the zone will finish. But yeah, we just can't put 40 kilometre signs up.
Can you give the community some kind of time frame on which?
Well, if we report back next month, it's not a difficult, we'll just have a look at planting a sign here and planting a sign, and this will be the start of the zone and the end of the zone.
What about actual stripes on the road?
No, we... times have changed, but the traffic volume didn't warrant dedicated pedestrians crossings. Again, they've approved through transport. Hence why one never ever went out here, and then there was debate about there was some discussion around whether that's actually more unsafe because people don't stop. I'm saying I doubt, but we can ask the question. One in High Street is probably considered sufficient, in that being the school crossing. But with the construction of the pool, we probably have to do some traffic movements now as well. But it's not a matter of, we just can't paint lines on roads or put up 40.
Oh, we could. Good talk. Okay, thank you.
So we'll say report next meeting on that one.
Excellent, thank you.
Okay. And so, sorry, can you let us know your name?
Andrew Young.
Thank you. And Andrew, what is your question for Council?
Just regarding the dog exercise area.
Okay.
The residents, tourists as well, so we can take the dogs out more flush.
Yeah.
And an enclosed area. I've just recently been up to Ross, and I had my dog with me actually. Looked at these, I've been to Kempton, I've seen the one at Kempton, used the one at Kempton, which is quite large. There, one at Ross isn't nowhere near as big, and it's completely different in design. They've used a small gauge ring lock, I think you call it, fencing, top fence, and copper's locks instead of going with the chain mesh or cyclone wire.
Well, that, yeah, it's
like you did at Kempton.
Yeah.
Which I just thought would be more cost effective if we could get something.
So the one at Ross, is that in that new village square?
No, it's actually on the football grounds.
The old rec ground.
Yeah, the old rec grounds. Okay. Up where you come in the gate.
Yep. Yep.
You got the fence line straight up the side of the fence line instead of going towards their copper lines.
Yes, I know what you mean.
So probably there is an amount of money that's included in our draft capital works program for this coming financial year.
Yes.
Now, whether that gets the final stamp, can't give that, but I think the biggest debate is where it's going.
That's right.
At the moment, that's what needs to be resolved. And that's a discussion going through the Callington Park Lake Dalbarton Management Committee.
Yes.
And I don't know whether anyone that sits on that committee can help me. I know one of the preferred locations involves parks and wildlife, and my limited knowledge suggests that we're waiting on something back from Brian Campbell.
Yeah, that's correct. We have had a large
Brian Campbell being the parks and wildlife representative.
About this. At the last meeting, we took a vote, and we know that a lot of people are keen to have it up at Callington Park itself. The committee took a vote, and we voted against that for lots of reasons. Councillor Fisher, your chairman, would you like to add a bit? And here's me talking.
I think you've covered pretty well. It's near. No, Flaxmill.
Flaxmill Point or
something. Yeah. There's about an acre and a quarter, which I think if it goes in, that's where it'll go.
Do you know the Flaxmill?
Yeah.
It's out that way. It's out that point.
I don't think it's important where it is, long as we have one, do it?
Yeah.
I think the rec ground was looked at too and discounted because it. On grand final day, it's the ground's packed out with cars.
Yeah, I was going to say, we've got Victoria Street, so we get the fair view.
I mean, it would be ideal there, you would think, but it's being unfair to the final, all the finals are played there, the semi-final, quarter-final, play at the opening, and they get good crowds.
And there was a third site that we we're considering with Brian's help. There is a block of Crown land near the Catholic Church, round by Chatham Street, around that way, and that was looked at as well. So we haven't been sitting on our hands. We have been looking at these and having lots of discussions. So
all of the discussions eventually end up out near the Flaxmill.
That's right. We think that. So we're just waiting for Brian to come back with. And as you know, when we get parks involved, there will be lots of paperwork and different forms that we have to do and things like that. So that is the update, Andrew, on that.
Through Madam Mayor, and Andrew's down, so we're discussing that council amendment to the dog management policy to actually allow dogs up to the road marking road policy. So, kind of conflicts with the parks, wildlife, conservation area. Jesus, isn't to remove that more than today. So,
Is there any other question? We'll move on, and we have no items in our planning authority, so we'll move. So, do you want to do the next item, or do you want someone to
call? We'll go into it.
Okay.
Building and planning authorities, you need to.
Okay. So we have got a discussion under the planning authority. My apologies, I'm sorry. So this is the session of council sitting as a planning authority pursuant to the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993 and council's statutory land use planning scheme. So item 12 is the proposed township structure planning project for Baghdad and Mangalore. Now Damien Mackey is our council planning consultant who will be doing this, but Damien is away.
Whiskey trade.
He's doing a whiskey trade in Singapore, selling his items in Singapore. So good luck to him. So in Damien's absence, I believe Grant is going to talk us through this. So Grant, if you don't mind, please.
Thank you, Madam Deputy. Council, this has been on our radar for some time. Last year we set aside some monies in the budget to advance this project. We've been looking to pick the brains of other councils who are doing similar projects at the moment, particularly Central Highlands and Tasman. Hence why we've involved Damien Mackey as a special projects person to help coordinate the project. It will involve staff from council. We want this to be staff involvement predominantly, but it does require consultant input. What we have here is a report which backgrounds I guess it's a proposal. The background is what structure plans seek to achieve, the planning process, with a chat regarding the land supply and demand. I know from a recent hearing for the Planning Commission, the reserve of land at Baghdad, the land supply and demand numbers are uncertain. We're seeing at council considerable growth in that corridor. Zone for constraints insofar as the Baghdad Regional Airport, Baghdad Mangalore Hydraulic Survey, we've got road restriction, we've got sensitive use, conflicts with rural agricultural users. So this is a priority for council to look at what we can achieve within this corridor between Baghdad and Mangalore. We've already reached out to a number of key stakeholders insofar as Taz Water. And DSG. Servicing is critical to see what we can achieve for future growth in this area. I know for a fact that Taz Water indicated to council some time ago that the STPs at Baghdad were close to capacity. With that additional 56 lot subdivision occur, East Baghdad Road, TPC rezonings for another 26 lots, we have potentially additional loadings on that currently. On that infrastructure, which may not be fit for purpose. Again, we're talking about budget and time frame. We're mentioning here that we may require additional monies to task this out, and there'll be a budget item for the next financial year. But certainly, we want to give this the priority that it requires. In support of the report that Damien has compiled, there's a recommendation there, but also too, we do have a project brief. And a project plan. So they do contain similar content, but certainly it's around time frame, predominantly when things are going to occur, when we've got a notification to engage consultants. Ideally, we're looking to have a consultant on board by August this year, so we want to kick the ball off very, very quickly. It does require a working group to be established. And ideally we require a chair and some councillors to be part of this working group. I believe from speaking to Tim yesterday, there's been some agreement already to who may be on the committee, which is fantastic. But certainly recognise that that we investigate a project to develop a new structure plan for Baghdad Mangalore. Again, with reference to the project plan and project brief, just details, time frames and who's involved, when they're involved. It certainly involves a large amount of consultation with local community groups. We haven't defined all those at this stage, but again, certainly this would set it out to engage early with those to achieve a meaningful outlook.
Okay.
just following the discussion just as part of our bus tour the other day, it was possibly thought that two elected members to make up the working group would be sufficient. Obviously, the bigger working group or that you pull together, the more difficult it is to arrange meetings and trying to schedule. So where the recommendation suggesting three, there's certainly a possibility to entertain just appointing two to that committee or working group.
Mayor, Deputy Mayor, I'd move the recommendation. I think this is very important. The last subdivision in Baghdad is now, I believe, virtually all sold, and they've started building. We had a look at it on the bus tour the other day, and we're badly in need of further development, residential development in the Mangalore-Baghdad area, and I think this is very timely that we undertake this and try and get some specific zonings done for further development, which obviously there's a demand for. I think also councillors should be aware that we do own a block of land what's the name? Blackbrush Road, sorry. And that would be part of this review. It will take some time to complete and then submit it to the TPC, which will probably take some time to get approved, if they do approve it. It's a very worthwhile project. I'd just like to put forward that Damien be the chair, Damien Mackey be the chair, and myself and Councillor Black will be the two councillor representatives, because we are familiar with that area.
There wasn't a seconder, so can we have a seconder to the motion? And does anyone else want to speak on that, please?
I'm happy to second it.
Yeah, I just think it'd be useful to have a community member on that working group, just so it's not us sitting in our echo chamber.
Yeah, going to say, Councillor Miller, the Mayor has written, as you can see, this is the Mayor's agenda, and he's written and he has got down here, please consider a community member
That's fine, more than happy to include that information.
He did name someone, but I'm not going to name who that was, and we can have discussions with community members to see if any or this person wants to go on that committee as well.
Yeah, there should be some process where people can nominate themselves or others to go on it, so it's fair and transparent.
Through Madam Deputy, I think if we look at the project plan, which I hope Council will have a copy in front of, on page 2 we have an indicative project stage and timeline. So the intention for today is by April is to establish a project steering group, so it would comprise of a chair and councillors. I agree, we need some community input. We do have a list of community groups within Baghdad, which I've got to add, or through their valley, is quite extensive. So for my mind, it's a matter of which person can represent this number of groups, I guess, objectively. There's probably 20 odd groups on this.
Yes.
Which we had last week, so it's important that one person can actually encapsulate the views and represent objectively the interests of the area.
Or maybe you have two people.
Maybe it comes to having two community members.
I think former Councillor Tony Bank would be ideal. He knows that area, he's in the office.
He's very passionate with it.
Maybe Lyndon Foster or someone. A younger
person.
So I know Lyndon works through the day, but
I think just picking up on Councillor Miller's point there, somehow if we can just get out there, allow for nominations and then make an assessment based on who puts their hand up.
The Mayor did have a question. Is the $80,000 the amount to be paid to the consultants, or is it an overall budget including officer time and consultants?
No, it would be consultants.
Consultants, right. That was his question.
Well, subject to finalising the project brief and going out to the market.
Sure. Mm-hmm. I think the lessons learned from, and AB can probably advise also, Madam Deputy, but with the infrastructure plan, AB, with them going to prescribe a fee, because that can set the tone for the response. So ideally, you want to, there's a lot of work being sought from the consultants at the moment, so in a good space to, to attract some good suppliers potential. But $50,000 was set aside for last year, in case we have an overspend, additionally required to cover it off. But yeah, it would be for consultants. And again, that's more in the infrastructure space around. Also, we need probably an agronomist as well. The issue we're striking within the valley is the fact that whilst land is zoned agriculture, it actually has a really low agricultural value.
It does.
That's a carryover from the Thinton planning scheme that predates the current Tas planning scheme. So we need agronomy input, we believe, to really qualify that rural asset through there.
Okay, is there any other questions from any other councillors? Any other discussion? Okay, so is everyone in favour of that?
Aye.
Okay, so this concludes the session of Council acting as the Planning Authority. I need someone to move the motion that we're going to morning tea, because that's normally what I do. I'll move that motion. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. We'll move now and have a cup of tea and we'll come back in a minute. Okay, we'll resume with our meeting.
Motion to resume.
I have a mover and a seconder, please, to resume the meeting.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell.
I'll second.
Thank you very much. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay, so our first report is from Infrastructure and Works, and obviously Craig's not here, so any questions can be shot to the GM. He'll handle all that. Okay, so are there any questions?
Yep. With Ringed Ashton Road, ash come out of Ringed Ashton, built up area, up over the hill down towards the railway line. That is subject to deterioration on a regular basis due to water mainly, ash and rain. And I was wondering if monitoring can be done on that section of road to see how much traffic is actually going through there. What has there been monitoring done in the past, and if so, what are the figures?
So the answer to that is, if we have it, we can, that's for sure. And I'd have to take on notice in terms of when we may have had traffic down to there last. So, yes, and unsure. Yes, but irrespective, we can put a traffic counter out there for a week.
And notice there's been a bit of hooning going on Inglewood Road on the reed seal by the bridge, which is a little bit disappointing. But the next comment is not having a go at anyone, but instead praising. There's a team of two that have been cleaning up alongside the road, and I noticed another day and they had a nice little fire on the road, keeping their hands warm. But that's beside the point. But wherever they go, they get praise for doing a good job, and I'd like to hand it on that council give those two a bit of praise for the work that they're doing.
I second that.
They've been doing a magnificent job, and that's the way they operate that JCB. It's just unreal.
Very good. We will definitely pass that on.
I reckon you could pick a box of matches up at the JCB.
That would be bare.
Finished?
Yeah, they did an excellent job out at the Matheson football ground with their cleaning up under the trees.
Deputy, if you haven't got an answer, it doesn't matter, but there was talk of bypassing Front Hill. Is that discussion still going on?
No, I don't think so. There's nothing evolved since. I think we've basically put the onus back on the property owner to take full cost responsibility, and I think now.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
From there.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I've got one. I'm not sure whether it's most appropriate for this section or not, but just in regards to TAS irrigation. Management of the water rights and the schemes within the shire. Can we look at what's required there in terms of, you know, taking that on as council and whatever else? And secondly to that, given the funding mechanism of the Greater South East Irrigation Scheme being, you know, fundamentally flawed, it's now resulted in the original scope being reduced, which is now excluding quite a few people, myself included, from those, you know, additional supplies of water. So I'd like us to reach out to the TAS irrigation scheme to see, because as I understand it, there's not sufficient funding for a pump station to complete that. And to find out what the cost of that is and see if there's some sort of co-funding arrangement that we can have, given that, you know, at the end of the line there's probably 20 or 30,000 acres that, you know, now will not have the benefit of that. So it is significant, and the flaw of the funding mechanism is that, you know, the people in the middle of the scheme, you know, don't feel that they should have to pay up in advance, because you know, it's the people at the end that benefit, but then they have every intent of utilising it. So the people at the end of the scheme, you know, ultimately have to pay the, I think it's the 10% up front, whereas the ones in the middle, they're on the way anyway, so they don't have to commit any funds up front. But then obviously once it's built, they can tap into it as they want. So the resulting issue is the people at the end miss out, because then it gets de-scoped because there's a suggestion that there's not sufficient demand, and that's the flaw of the model. And so I think, you know, we need to put this on the agenda, because as a lot of the schemes within the area were sold 40 years ago, and, you know, a lot's changed in that time, and there's no further rights, you know, apparently able to be issued under those schemes, despite those schemes running at, you know, under capacity due to the fact that people hold on to these rights. The farms have been subdivided, so they're not sufficient, you know, commercially viable or to pay for irrigation. There's 5 megalitres here, you know, 10 here, all over the place, which means the schemes are being underutilised, so newer entrants are excluded from the schemes despite there being capacity within the system. So there needs to be some mechanism to review the current actual usage of a scheme and allow new entrants into the scheme, especially for some of these that are, you know, 40 years old at this juncture. So I'm not sure, as I say, whether this is the right section, but I think, you know, wherever it sits within the agenda today, I think that's something that we need to get on top of before they start drawing red lines under the final scope of these schemes, particularly the Greater South East Irrigation Scheme.
So I don't think that's going to go ahead. It's too expensive.
Well, the other thing is,
I think they put out expressions of interest, and I don't think they got much back.
Well, this is the issue. They got a lot of interest back, but the way they then say you've got to fund up front means...
Well, like the other schemes, they had to fund up front.
But the problem is the people in the middle of the scheme don't feel that they need to contribute up front because the pipe's going to go through their property anyway.
Yeah, but it's the connection. I know, my daughter's on it.
Mm.
A connection is about 40,000.
Mm. Yes.
Just to put a valve in, 40,000.
Mm. 5-6.
And then you pay up front.
Yes.
And then you pay for the water.
Yes. Mm. However, the demand is there. But it's the fact that you then having to pay up front 3 years in advance for this stuff that is, you know, then...
Yeah.
What we're not doing, I know the Kneebone?
Yeah, Andrew Kneebone.
I know he came along and gave the Mayor and I a briefing in terms of where they were at that time, was particularly to highlight the fact that Kempton, Milton, Mowbray area had been dropped off. But I'm thinking that it's possibly
docked off now as well.
Is to actually ask him to come along and address either a council meeting or a council workshop.
Yeah, good idea.
So we reached out to Tas Irrigation and put that invitation to them. In terms of the first issue regarding the management of the scheme, so I did drop you an email back. So
yeah, no, I saw that. Yeah.
Just a little bit of background, there's been further legislation go through that now allows Tas Irrigation to transfer the management of these schemes to community or local management bodies. Don't know a lot about it at this point, but they are having information sessions over the next coming months that we can certainly participate in and see whether, you know, it's worthwhile or is it an opportunity for council to get involved or whether, it's just beyond our scope, but that's something we can monitor as part of participating in these information sessions.
Mm.
But we will extend an invitation to Andrew Kneebone.
Mm. So, I mean, I think it's important to, you know, ensure water security and surety as well as quality for the area. And, you know, the great, you know, hope with the Greater South East Irrigation Scheme, and if that's been scaled back, you know, then let's discuss why and, you know, how we can, you know, fix
a lot of the obstacles. Yeah, very good.
That's it. That's it. Sorry, that was a fairly long-winded one, but...
That's fine, that's fine, it's important. Councillor Blackwell, have you got any... Councillor Bisti, do you have any...
No, no, you've run out. I'm exhausted.
I got one final comment. When I chatted to the two the other day, the day after, and I've nicknamed it Kirkwood's Rock on Inglewood Road.
Don't tell me they've moved it.
No, they actually put some fill over the top of it.
Very good.
And they deserve to be thanked for that.
Mm.
Okay, I just wanted to make a comment about how good the front of the community centre looks. I'm sure Julia over there would agree with me, with our wicking beds and they've been planted out and the garbage bins have been hidden behind enclosed doors, and it really does look great, and we are getting lots and lots of positive feedback. So Phil and Simon and the other guys did a fantastic job, so I'd just like to thank them very much for that. Did we get a mover and a seconder or not?
No.
Okay. Can I have someone please?
Oh, move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconder?
Oh, I can see.
Councillor Fish, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay, let's move on. Okay, so next item on the agenda is the Heritage Project report from the manager, Brad Williams. Has everyone had a chance to read that?
Mm-hmm.
And are there any questions? No questions other than the two I have here from the Met.
Let me guess.
Okay. Milton Mowbray Trop.
Yep. Work in progress.
Work in progress. And, he backs me in what was said months ago, that the Jericho trees would be planted and everything done by Anzac Day. And he's got lots of question marks there, and it hasn't happened, has it?
No, but I do know, no, in Brad's defence, they were meeting
four hours
with,
to go.
Huh?
Still got 4 hours to go.
Brad was meeting with Stephanie yesterday afternoon to finalise whatever they're finalising. Part of the delay, in order to use the insignia, you've got to get approval from the Australian War Memorial Mob.
Yep.
So that's all come through now, I believe. So, no, there's valid reasons, and Stephanie's right on side.
Okay, I knew Steph was on to it.
No, she
okay, all right. Very good. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please?
Move. I can move that.
Councillor Fish, thank you. Councillor Christie, second.
So just in answer to your Milton Mowbray trough, so as soon as the park is right, the trough just ready to be transported down. Very, very carefully.
Okay.
Kid gloves.
All in favour?
Aye.
Thank you. Report that back. Okay, the next report is the NRM unit report from Manager Maria Wedding.
I'll put the motion.
Thank you.
Second.
Thank you. Fish, Councillor Campbell, everyone read the report.
I've got a little comment I'd like a little explanation on. In the second paragraph, it says Helen has been compiling.
Just a little typo.
Well, Helen just turned, she attended Government House to get a gong the other day.
I saw photos. It's wonderful. It is. Congratulations to Helen again.
Well deserved.
Okay. All right, and the Mayor has just written a little comment. Fix the Kempton clock. Okay.
Work in progress.
We'll sort that. Okay, 3 minutes. Okay, so can I have a seconder and a mover and a seconder, please, for this motion?
Moved.
Councillor Bissey?
Second.
Councillor Blackwell, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Oh, which one of that? I had Fish and Campbell. Councillor Fish and Councillor Campbell.
Yes.
Which one are you looking at?
NRM. I'm going back to Sedmine.
That's
all right.
That was a heritage project.
Sure.
I've had
Fish and Campbell for NRM.
Okay, my apologies. Let's move on.
There's too much enthusiasm.
Oh, well, I'm on a timeline, aren't I? I've had members saying they have to go places. Okay. Okay, next report is the animal management report, and we have Rachel in attendance. So, Rachel, would you like to talk on your report, please?
Good morning, all. Well, I don't really have much to say about the report this month.
Is the goat and the ram housed?
No, they're not.
All right. Well, that's good.
Talk about that.
Good. It mightn't work out so well. They gone or they're still there?
Yeah, they're gone.
They're gone.
Okay.
I have a question.
Move the report.
Okay, we'll do that first. And have a second. Councillor Blackwell second. And okay, Councillor Campbell, yes.
Well, I have a question. When these dogs are being impounded, are the type of dogs being noted as to what is being impounded?
Yes, we keep a record of it.
So you know whether it's little dog, big dog, or whatever.
Yep.
Thank you, Rachel. Thank you. Okay. There is a question from the Mayor. And it's to do with the geese on Lake Dalgerton. And his question is, how are the geese to be managed around Lake Dalgerton? And I think we've all...
Rachel probably doesn't...
You're not
sure.
I have seen geese in people.
All right, well, maybe we'll just leave that one for the Lake Dalgerton Committee to sort out. Okay. Everyone in favour of this report? And we'll move on next.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Next item is the dock management policy clarification minor amendment. Rachel, would you like to talk on this, please?
Well, from my understanding, it's just a little amendment in our dock management policy. So everything's going to stay the same, we're just changing some wording.
Just to clarify that dogs are allowed above the
water.
So treating it as a minor amendment or clarification, it's really just confirming existing practice and aimed at not avoiding the need to go into public, allow for public advertising.
Okay, so the recommendation is information be received and council acknowledge and endorse the minor amendments, which are basically clarification of an existing provision within the policy dated May 22.
So moved.
And I'll second.
Thank you. Councillor Justine, Councillor Campbell. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay. Rachel, your game. So the next item is the animal management fees, including dog registrations for the year 24-25. Rachel, if you'd like to talk on this again.
So we are imposing a 10% raise, nearly a 10% raise.
It's one thing Rachel's for work she's been looking at other councils where we sit amongst other councils of a similar context. We are proposing an increase in fees and introduction of new fees in some cases, in particular a damaged dog. Is it?
Yep, that's right.
And also some additional fees for the transportation of impounded animals and the like, just for more cost recovery. So certainly we're looking to increase the fees across the board, no question. On our last council meeting, there was some discussion in Mandy's report regarding budget and our current overspend. This by no means is cost recovery.
No.
We're looking to try and claw back some of the costs that we're incurring. This last year has been extraordinary insofar as illegal expenses, which is inclusive of that some overspend for last year, or this year, sorry. Again, we've compared the increase with other councils. We're about 11% increase proposed. So last year we looked at a 5% across the board. It wasn't received last year, but 6.9% on a high load index. This was a little bit more of an increase. Serious for discussion. Rachel and I discussed this in some detail last week as to what's fair and reasonable in comparison to other councils. And we're still, for my mind, we're mid-range. We're nowhere near the likes of Sorrel or Brighton when it comes to distribution blocks.
That's right.
So,
and we're still only recovering 57%.
That's it. If the fees don't change for this year, they stay the same, that would be our recovery, would be 57%.
Yeah, but it's even with these increases, it's not going to increase it much of it. What, 60% or something? Not a lot.
Wouldn't be a huge increase, but certainly we're mindful of the new areas and they're marked in red on the agenda, the new fees being imposed. We want to discourage dangerous breeds, hence that really exorbitant fee that would apply that instance.
Yeah.
That's a lot of other councils. I think one council was $1,000 for a dangerous breed registration.
Yeah, so
the danger there is that if you increase it too much, then people aren't registered their animals.
That is the fine line. And I said to Rachel, my fees were a little bit higher. We've come back to Rachel's sort of middle of the road because she's very mindful of the fact, Councillor Miller, that if the fees are set so high, it is a deterrent to register a dog.
Well, especially dangerous breeds, I think. You know, they want to discourage them, but you also want to know where they are. So,
we know of five at the moment, is that true, Rach? Three at the moment. So, they are coming in our system. That new fee wouldn't apply. It would apply to new dogs coming into council.
Yeah.
It wouldn't apply to those existing three dogs. We acknowledge that.
Yeah. And just one other adjustment. Under guide dogs, hearing dogs, you should also have assistance animals.
Yeah, we could possibly change that.
It certainly is for council to be comfortable with. If they want to increase the fees additionally, again, that's entirely your decision. We're trying to strike a bit of a middle ground as far as where we sit with other councils. The cost of our compliance and monitoring has increased, no question. We have a 1.2 FTE resource in this space. I can tell you from my sight with Rachel that you need that second person on occasion. This role does encounter hostilities. It can be very unpleasant. So we need to be safe at work as well.
I looked at the fees and I sort of asked myself a few questions. Dog desex, $38. I would put that down a bit to $35 to encourage people to get dogs desexed. Non-desexed, I'd shove that up a bit to $50 to round that off. And then pound fee, $38 to $40. And to feed, I'd take it up to $20, because some of those big dogs, they'd wolf that down in about 7 seconds, $20 worth.
Looking at the council's council, Campbell, some councils provide really early Uber discount on registration. So they have a minimum and a maximum fee apply in all instances. We're only applying a single fee across their board at this stage. But certainly, I'm happy for Rachel to speak in detail regarding the specifics of those details.
Okay. So, any other discussion on this? So you have the recommendation there that we accept these animal management fees for 24-25.
Acknowledge we don't have a decision box.
We don't have a decision box down the bottom or on the next page. So,
just pretend there's a decision box. So, just picking up on Ken, so if someone, assuming that someone moves and seconds the recommendation, Councillor Campbell, if you want to pursue your amendments, okay, it would possibly need to be an amendment. Or you can move it subject to those changes.
Well, I'm quite happy to move it subject to those changes.
So what was that, D6, $40?
Desex was 35.
Sorry, 35.
Dog non-desexed was 50. The fee per day to go to 20, and the impound fee went to 40. I think it was those four changes.
Yes.
Have we got a seconder for Councillor Cam? Sorry.
Is there any problem with those, Grant or Rachel?
Looking at the average of other councils, for example, the average impound fee was between $59 and $65. We're looking at a $40 fee. We do have a time cost and travel to get staff to arrange the impound release. So again, I take the point, Councillor Campbell, there's a decision to be made as to whether they want to keep the dog or council inherits that dog, and they then transfer the dog's home, assuming it can meet the temperament tests. But certainly, we're not looking to price gouge by any means. We're looking to be a bit more responsible in our charging.
Okay.
It's such a minor change that it's not really worth changing the document over.
Alright, so have we got a seconder for Councillor Campbell's recommendation? Okay, so
move the recommendation as submitted.
As submitted, okay. So Councillor Bissey, Councillor Fraser, Councillor Hill, sorry. Okay, before we move on.
First, second.
Yes, it is.
We should celebrate.
Well done.
Donna normally beats me to it.
Before we move on, I'd just like to thank Rachel for all her hard work, particularly this last year. You had a brief of the year with dogs. Yes. So congratulations, you have done amazing. Rachel, well done.
Don't forget those car wrecks, Rachel. They seem to be going.
Okay.
Us two are on Monday. Sorry.
Right, yeah. Let's move on. Our environmental sustainability. So our updated climate change adoption plan from our special project manager, Graham Green. It's in front of your head.
Yep.
Can everyone read it, please? Have they read it? And are there any questions? And I'm presuming Grant will probably be answering any questions to this, if there are questions.
Yes, if you may, I can answer any questions. Grant doesn't work on Monday, doesn't work Wednesdays, Thursdays or Fridays, but Grant's pulled us together. Grant's been very active in the space the last 18 months, doing a lot of adaptation plans for southern councils and soon to be statewide councils. Council's an early adopter of this plan, so what we have here is Grant's recommendation, just to update the plan as per his recommendation. He's outlined some issues, get some backgrounding. I know for a fact that this requires, you know, some considered spend from council to actually put into place some of the physical works, particularly in relation to the Baghdad-Mangalore hydraulic survey. And I know that AB and Graham have been discussing that and looking at budget lines for these to occur. Certainly, Graham's outlined the current climate change risks, and again, our responses to those from council, any concern, any corporate actions that are required, particularly in relation to liability. We need to be very careful when we're making decisions, especially in a development sense, that you know, we factor in any potential hazards that are foreseen or unforeseen. Graham has made those comments as well within his recommendation. I do note that the human resources component, I've got a question around that, because whilst Graham's a highly valued employee, he won't be with us forever, so I'm just mindful of, you know, succession in the space. There's been some intimations around an exit sometime soon. We need to, you know, forecast at a council to chat between Tim and myself and Graham as to where succession in that space. Grant's mentioned implications and the return on spend. You know, very long we invest in adaptation, typically yields net benefits of between $2 and $10. Consultation, it's obviously it's a key part of the adaptation plan. Actually there's probably branding now, but certainly just as per the recommendation. Any further questions I'm happy to attempt to answer in Graham's absence.
So are there any questions?
Yes, under the adoption action, there's 5 points there. In moving this motion, we accept the change to the adoption plan, which includes those. I think they should be subject to budgetary considerations rather than a blanket, yes, we'll do it, which the motion actually says that we're going to do these things. endorse the updated Southern Midlands Council Climate Change Adoption Plan. And I'd just like to perhaps add that the adoption action be subject to financial considerations in future budget.
Just in response to Councillor Busy, second dot point, we actually have that data from the consultants in relation to the Baghdad Rivulet and that catchment through Mangalore Baghdad. So I understand your comments that was secured through federal government funding.
Correct, yes.
So
that's fine. I'm just concerned that the motion as it stands ties us down to doing these things. We endorse the recommendations, but to me it's subject to, if we've got the money, to undertake these projects.
Yeah. I know I'm rising to the third dot point regarding water storage and capacity. We require for new developments that they have a static supply in a bushfire zone. But your mention here is probably more in relation to accessible water for the volunteer brigades to access in the event of fire. I know that we have a situation in Colebrook. We're meeting with a local brigade to look at developments on that site. They've got a large water tank in the front yard that's, you know, provides water in the event of fire as well. So
sure,
these would require some spend. No question.
That's right.
It's a matter of, you know, lots of priority for council.
That's right.
There is an opportunity to fund a lot of this through some longer term thinking, particularly around carbon sequestration, and if the council undertook to plant trees that they can then not only get the carbon credits for, but they can then offset the cost of that through corporate social responsibility initiatives where they want to be net neutral in terms of their carbon emissions, which would then yield not only an income stream to council, but it would also, you know, start to potentially counteract some of the more negative aspects of climate change. And then obviously that money can then be reinvested into the funding of some of this and infrastructure projects around sort of stuff. So it also is a long term view, but again we seem to be quite short term focused as a society at the moment. So I think that's probably something that could be looked into and the viability around that, and certainly would make funding a lot of these other things a lot more a lot easier to do, and certainly maybe even generate, you know, profit for redistribution elsewhere or for future projects.
Yeah, well, I accept what you're saying, long term, but yeah. I'm concerned about adopting a motion that ties us down to doing, it says endorse, the updated plan, and that's...
I'm not happy to add, like, you know, subject to budget, that's no problem there, and that will be anyway, because if we get we can't...
That's right, but I'd, rather than a blanket, yes, all that's good, which it is, that can we afford it? That's my question.
We can add a point B that it be acknowledged that proposed actions be subject to, you know, future budget considerations.
That's fine. Move the motion.
Okay. Thank you very much. All in favour?
Aye.
Move on. Okay, so the next report we have is the Oakland Aquatic Centre, the coordinator's report from Adam. We all have the figures all in front of us there. Just before we move the report, I just wanted to make a couple of comments. Last week I was in Oakland a fair bit, and I noticed, and I got talking to lots of people that were coming and going from the pool, and I was talking to three different groups, and yes, one was James McShane, his wife, and we saw photos of the piece of artwork. Another three families were from Brighton, and they'd come up because of the school holidays to use our pool and how much they loved it, and they prefer coming to us than the Hobart Aquatic Centre because they felt the aquatic centre in Hobart was rather dirty and non-friendly. That was just their opinion. And the second family I got talking to that afternoon were from Rugby and Lauderdale, and they come up to us regularly as well. And then I went outside because I got talking to another boy, and he said, oh, I didn't want to stay swimming because there were probably 60 kindergarten children there from the PCYC. And they'd taken over the pool and having a great time. So last week it was just amazing the number of people that were using it from outside our area. Mm. So as someone said to me only a few weeks ago, build it, they will use it.
Mm. Mm. Mm.
So
it's like a field of dreams.
Yeah.
You build it, that will come.
That was probably it, yeah. Okay, so can I have a mover, please, and a seconder for Adam's report?
Yep, I'll move.
Okay, Beckel, thank you. Seconder?
I can second.
Thank you, Councillor Fish. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay, next item is the 23-24 fire abatement update, and that is going to be talked to us. Rachel again.
Just basically to provide you with an update of what's happened with the fire season.
Thank you. Okay.
So through you, those people that received notices complied with them?
Myself, yes.
Yeah. Thank you.
There are two complaints, please. That's right.
Very good. Thank you.
Okay.
And I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded, please.
Second.
Councillor Bissey, thank you. All in favour?
Aye.
Moving right along. Okay, the next item on our agenda is 17.1.1, Federal Government House of Representatives Standing Committee Inquiry into Local Government Funding and Sustainability. Over to the General Manager for a report on this.
So really, it's as it turned out, and I'm just going to circulate, LGAP have already drafted their submission, and they're seeking feedback by the end of May, or just by the end of the May. So we will have the benefit of considering this draft submission. So I'm suggesting that Southern Midlands, as an individual council, probably doesn't need to put a submission into a federal inquiry, and will rely on the submission being made by the Local Government Association. And I also make comment in the report that ALGAT will also, the Australian Local Government Association, will also be reaching out for individual councils to provide information throughout Australia in support of their submission. But it's the, you can imagine that the top of the list is in terms of financial sustainability. The big push is to try and get the 1% of Commonwealth revenue that's been on the agenda for how many years?
20, 30.
Certainly since my turn, my time in local government. So having said that, it's a good initiative.
It is.
Whether it, the committee's been established as a result of ALGA advocacy, but it is an opportunity to highlight the plights of local government, and hopefully the feds will listen and throw us a heap more money.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
That sums it up.
And I'm happy to move it, and I like...
No,
we're right.
Yeah, that's right. I don't... It's part of it, Julie. There's nothing confidential about it.
No. Okay. I like the third paragraph on media release.
Third, 1, 2, 3. Councillors are constantly being asked to do more by their communities and state and territory governments, but aren't being funded to deliver. That's exactly right.
Okay, we've got a mover, Councillor Campbell. Seconder?
I'll second.
Councillor Michael, thank you.
Just one issue, and I don't think it's probably appropriate here, but it's changing this funding, Roads to Recovery funding, to get above the line. So
to recognise it as recurrent funding?
That's right. And it's a very important issue, because it's a lot of money and we can't calculate it into our financial statements. Well, we do, but it's not income as such, because it's at the discretion of federal government. And they've never failed to fund it.
There's no sunset clause in the legislation.
Right.
The Roads to Recovery money will continue. It's just that it's not recognised as recurrent funding.
That's right.
So hence the old, you know, we've got to show it below the line as a capital source of
And we've
income.
Got to show a loss, a deficit, while we're really in credit with the road funding.
So.
And it looks bad, and of course the media, not the Southern Midlands News, Julia, the media pick these things up. Oh, you've got a deficit, but actually we don't
take that into account. So that is something that we can channel into LGAT, is to seek to have that funding recognised as recurrent funding,
that's
similar
right.
to our FAGS grant.
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're all in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, let's move on. Okay, so 17.2.1, tabling of documents. Have we got any other documents to be tabled? No? Okay, let's move on then. 17.2.2, elected member statements. Are there any councillors that want to have 2 minutes to spruik something? And no, I don't have anything this month.
Neil, move on.
Thank you. All right. Let's move on then. Okay, finances. Monthly financial statement written by our finance officer, Mandy Burberry. There is the report in front. Does anyone have any questions for Mandy?
Yes, just on employee benefits, if it's looking at the current run rate, it looks like we're going to come in at about 4.8 million against a budget of 5.5. Would that suggest there's, you know, 700 odd grand in the surplus?
No, there's probably other expenses to come in. I think we are coming in under budget.
Yep.
But probably not that much under.
On cost accruals, but old interview leave accruals, yes. And as you know, we're working fairly hard at reducing those, but but when you look at overall, because I think materials and contracts are greater than percentage year to date, but if you look at the operating statement on page 60 overall, there is about $300,000 under.
Yes, so we are under budget, but it won't be touched as difference, I don't think, by 30.
Yep, okay.
Thank you, Mandy. Any other questions? Okay. I have a mover and a second.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor Bishing, Councillor Campbell. All those in favour?
Aye.
Okay, moving right along.
Yeah.
Okay, consideration of supplementary items to the agenda.
Yes, Gemma. So this was the agenda item that was deferred last month pending a request for the Historical Society to give us their latest financial report.
The financial report around. I've got a report.
And this has only come in yesterday.
Should this one be closed?
That's the agenda item. It was on the agenda last month.
They got plenty of money.
Probably just comment that primarily the reason or the history behind granting a remission is recognising that they are a not-for-profit, volunteer-based organisation that provides, they do provide a valuable service. Call in and research their family history and really it is another attraction in the town.
Yeah,
fully run by volunteers. The granting of the remission is not necessarily purely financial based, but I know Councillor Fish indicated that
they're open 7 days a week.
So as at the 30th of June, they're about $33,000.
Okay. So
do the recommendation, Madam.
Thank you, Councillor Bixby. Can we have a second to thank you, Councillor Campbell, that we will do a remission to the
state. It's $1,000 or something.
$1,064.54. Okay. General Manager, you'll sort that out with Sophie and...
We certainly will.
Thank you very much. Okay, so the next part of our meeting.
It's just the quarterly capital works update.
Grants
update.
Okay.
Grants? Oh, I'd said capital works, didn't I?
Grants, yes, it's grants.
Grants. Grants update.
Okay, well, this is coming around, and this is Andrew's project. Andrew, would you like to talk on
that? Thanks, Deputy.
Just keep handing them around and I'll sift them.
As we know, in many ways, this grants program, where old managers put their hands up, lots of work in the sort of developing the proposals for the grants application, have had this really very successful. I believe one, I'll just make a quick on one, and it talks about within that particular spreadsheet about our jobs hub at Swampville, which, as you know, was officially funded by us, Central Highlands, and Brighton. We had funding under the state government jobs hub program up until November this year, and we put lots of effort into pushing to get that extended, to extend the wonderful work that Anthony and his team undertake as part of that jobs hub activity. I attended a meeting yesterday where Kerry Vincent, the forthcoming candidate for Crosser, had a commitment from the state government of $2.1 million for the next 3 years for the extension of our jobs hub activities. We'll enter into a deep agreement in relation to that following the passing of the budget. So that's really good news, and I participated in that activity as chairman of that that jobs hub board. So really exciting. Anthony's doing some amazing work, and to get $2.1 million over the next 3 years to continue that work is a really tribute, a major tribute to the work that he is doing. So,
and the chairman.
Thank you.
Do we know who the chairman is?
Just on that, the on the Mood Food Walkway, here you've got it as awaiting minister consideration, but you've got it on the unsuccessful grants application.
Yeah, there's been history, Councillor Visty. The initial one that we submitted was under the LGAT Open Space Grants.
Right.
We were unfortunately unsuccessful because
they
felt that it wasn't sporty enough or open spacey enough, being a footpath. So then Dave Richardson put in an application under the second phase of that grant program, and we didn't know whether that was going to get a Guernsey, so I put another application in under the Vulnerable Road Users program. So if we've got two in the melting pot at this point in time, and if we're successful with one of them, we'll pull the pin on the other.
Wasn't it a promise under the the government the election promise?
No. The other one that I had some good news from was Anthony and I put in a grant application for lifeguards, knowing that lifeguards in rural patches are really hard to get. So we've got 98% there with funding for 40 lifeguards across our southern municipalities over the next 2 years, which is really exciting, and partnering with rural youth in relation to that. So lots of good things that we've got in the melting pot, and exciting things that go a long way to supporting our community, which is a bit extended from what we normally do as a local authority, but we've engaged a lot of good people to support us in those areas.
Probably just add to it, it's fairly unique in the Legislative Council election process, but The mayor and I have got a photo opportunity this afternoon with Kerry Hudson as the Liberal Party candidate. They will, if elected, grant $80,000 towards the upgrade of the Kimpton cricket nets and the construction of what's just going to be a half court basketball hoop thing, but it's been expanded to sort of our pickleball that we played on it. Don't ask me what pickleball is, because
Very popular,
apparently.
It's becoming vegan.
And I am aware that he had a picky opportunity with the Oakland's RSL this morning. They'll make a contribution of $20,000 towards the exterior painting and rendering around here at the RSL. So.
Very
good. I will wait and see what the outcome of that election is.
I heard a little while ago that Kerry is all for amalgamation.
Yes,
he was. If that's the case, I suggest you bring it up to him.
he was. Certainly down in his patch anyway.
Yes.
Up to him last Sunday and he was quite...
So you may actually run past him, Tim, and the deputy to see if he will support the former Premier, or now the Premier, statement that there will be no forced amalgamations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And just on that point, Minister Howlett did indicate verbally that the state or the Liberal Party will honour its election commitments despite not achieving majority government. So we'll just hopefully wait and see that goes through the Treasury process. And
they haven't got a government yet. No, one short.
Hmm.
So they better get their running shoes on.
All right, so we have a recommendation that report be received. Can I have a mover and a seconder, please?
Oh, maybe.
If you can. Councillor Campbell, sorry, and a seconder?
Yep, I'll second.
Thank you, Councillor Beckwith. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay. The recommendation now is that in accordance with Regulation 15 of the Local Government Meeting Procedures Regulations 2015, the following items are dealt with in closed session. We have the confirmation of the minutes, application for leave of absence, and a property matter. Can I have a mover?
Move.
Sure. Okay, so Councillor Bisdee, who was first? Councillor Fish or Councillor Campbell? Okay, Councillor Campbell it is. All in favour?
Aye.
Okay.
You're right.
The recommendation that in accordance with Regulation 15.2 of the Local Government Meeting Procedure Regulations 2015, Council move into closed session and the meeting be closed to members of the public. Have a mover, please.
I'll move.
Councillor Campbell, seconder?
I can second.
Councillor Fish, all in favour?
Aye.
Okay. With that, we now move into closed session. Okay, that we close this meeting today at 1:04. I thank you everyone for coming and I wish everyone all the best tomorrow with our ANZAC marches and presentations to where we're all going, and I hope it's not too cold at 6:00 in the morning for us.
I'm not sure. I did ask you when they were coming, but I haven't heard that. But I'm